to the hip hop, the hip hop, the hip hip hop, you don't stop.
I will definitely call you back later then.
Come on, wrap it up.
Big circle.
Okay, you know what? Wrap up the circle thing. Come on.
Mr. Parker, wrap it up, please.
Okay.
Okay, everybody, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap. It is 8:38 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now is the time when we talk with a couple of friends here in studio about the issues of the week and just hang out like it's a coffee shop or a bar or both. I don't really care one way or the other. As long as we're drinking and talking, it's good. Joining me today, we've got a many-time participant on the Wrap, Ray Walker, who is, let's see if I can get this right, he is the chairman of the board
for the Pensacola Chamber. I am.
All right.
Yes, sir.
And also, and he's filled in for me several times. Absolutely. Does a fantastic job. In his other life, he is a he's a talker. That's the word we like, right? Isn't the other word they don't like to use as much?
Lobbyist.
He's a lobbyist.
Yeah.
He talks to politicians.
I talk to politicians
for a living. And then the other person we have with us, it's been a little while since we've had him. I'm Michael Kimbrell, who is the director of the Washburn Center, and in my mind, one of the most important voices in dealing in talking about local issues regarding the homeless, because those are the folks he works with all the time. He operates the Satoshi Forest, the encampment on Massachusetts. Did I have that right? Yeah. And I mean, I've been there, but I just forget. So anyway, Michael, welcome back to the Wrap.
Thanks for having me.
Always good to have you. So let's start with that a little bit. Tallahassee, I know you and Ray, we can talk Tallahassee all day, but let's start with some of the homeless related stuff. I'm curious your take, because you and I haven't talked about this, the proposal to build a tax collector's office slash community center on the strip of land between the Brentwood Park across from the elementary school on Palafox, just south of Brent Lane, between the park proper and the church there, a place that has homeless activity in it. It's right down the road from the Washburn Center. I know you're very well familiar with this property. I'm supportive because I like the community center concept. And I have concerns about people being able to use that park with their kids, which they don't right now for obvious reasons. What are your thoughts?
So I think it's we're about to see us lose a green space, and that's a shame. And I don't think we're going to see a community center like you would think out of it.
Like a building that does community services as opposed to a real community center concept.
I've been in our tax collector's office, which is over at Marcus Point, and I know the park, and I don't see how they're going to be able to build something the equivalent of that tax collector's office and have a community center attached.
Okay.
It's not feasible.
It's not that big of a strip of land.
I've
been curious to ask you this question, and I have you on, I want to. Do you feel the tension, like, because the community looks at that park and says, we're supposed to be able to use that, and we don't feel safe bringing our kids there. I also recognize that there are not a lot of places for homeless people to go. And if you keep pushing them out of here and there and everywhere, I mean, there's some limit to how much we can do that. As you working with that community so heavily, do you feel that tension and wish there was a way to have either both or more for the kids, basically?
I do, and this is why I'm upset that we're losing the green space, is that we can address homelessness. And I think we all agree that for over a decade, we have not, as a community, addressed homelessness, and it has caused this problem. And it's a shame that the community surrounding this park is applauding that we're going to lose the park to build a tax collector's office.
A part of the park, though. I mean,
it's all of the park. They're going to leave a playground.
I gotcha.
It's not there. We're losing the track, the baseball or the basketball courts. Right. We're losing the park, the gazebos, the picnic tables, like all the things that constitute a park are going to be gone.
Gotcha.
And so,
right.
Yeah, well, I think, I mean, losing a park, but if they're not using it, then we got to figure out a way to fix it. And if they're not feeling safe, but eliminating it completely, is that the best option?
Or largely. I'll apologize. Largely. I had thought
exactly.
I had thought that it was more that one strip of the green going off of Palafox toward the streets back there. I didn't picture it as being quite as big as you're talking about. So I'll have to but I appreciate that, because I didn't think it was that much of a cut. But go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, I think it's finding that balance. And is there a better way to make it a useful piece of land? But if you were putting the tax collector's office to point with the one on W Street, I mean, you know how
that's
busy
much
that
bigger
sucker is.
Right, yeah,
I mean,
cars. And right.
So if you're putting anything like that there, how much of the park is going to be usable anyways.
Which I think I think that's
what your point is, Michael, is the question. And I would, tax collector's office and the busyness of that, that does bring a lot of questions to my mind.
Something that actually you and I were talking before the show today is, Michael, you were telling me that, and I hadn't realized this, it was kind of one of those, oh, duh, obviously, but if you go east from Palafox toward the Washburn Center, at the end of that road and at the end of the road behind Brentwood, there's a large forest area back there, huge.
Yeah, roughly 40 acres.
Yeah, tract of land up against the railroad tracks. I never see that because you never see it when you're driving. Right, you could maybe infer it if you look down past like the storage units and that kind of stuff, but you never see it, okay, unless you go down to the end and maybe think about what's there. And so you were telling me that that's actually a very common, there's a lot of homeless camps back there.
Yes, sir, that there are.
And that's something that's, they're now being cleaned out by the county?
They haven't started cleaning, but last week a magistrate ordered that the property be cleaned. And in that cleaning, it involved removing of abandoned vehicles, temporary structures or tents, campsites, and then just overall debris. You know, campsites a lot of times accumulate garbage around them as well.
So we've many times, you and Commissioner Bergosh, I know, I've also talked about this, that, you know, he's a big admirer of the Satoshi Forest concept. I am as well. You know, it doesn't sound like that's what was going on back there, but still, that's a lot of people. I mean, that is a lot of people who had found a place that was relatively out of the way, so out of the way that, you know, 1% of Pensacolians even knew the forest was there, basically, right? So what's going to happen to them?
That's what we're waiting to see. The order has been made, and it's how do we address it? We could heavily handed do it with law enforcement and just kind of push everybody out, but then that causes a problem for social workers and people working with this population. We lose them. We can't find them.
For feeding, for counseling, for services, for everything,
exactly.
Right?
Yeah, and say I've been working on getting funding and I get funding for this person, now I have to find them to let them know we have that funding, and if we don't find them in a certain amount of time, the funding goes to someone else. And so it could further extend the amount of time they experience homelessness. But then we also have some really good, innocent people out there that keep clean camps that don't cause problems mixed in with all these knuckleheads and people that are causing the issues. And even this morning on my Facebook page, there was a lady who camps on this piece of property who responded to me on there saying that, you know, she knows the people that are causing the problems and has tried to help clean it up, but to no avail, and she's going to lose her place to live because of it.
We'll come back to this in a second, because I this is really interesting to me. And, you know, maybe there's an answer on the horizon. I don't know. You know better than I do, but I want to ask you about it. We're talking to Michael Kimbrell and also Ray Walker here on The Wrap. Let's get a quick traffic on the fives from Gracie Wolf.
No slowdowns this Friday morning with I-10 and I-110 showing no delays, as well as Davis Highway, East Olive Road, Crane, and Langley looking good. And posted speeds on 98 throughout Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre. Navarre, we do have a slight accident that's going to be right off at 87, but it's not causing any slowdowns. If you see something else, give me a call to the traffic line. That's 850-262-6111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
Thanks so much, Gracie. So I know the idea of building a bigger, better, scalable version of Satoshi Forest, where it's not, what do you have, 15 or so campsites there?
Right, 15 to 20.
You know, if you had not 40 acres, but 20 acres or 10 acres. I mean, there's a lot that could be done on that land that's already being done that way, just maybe not as well as it should be. Is that feasible or viable, or has anybody even looked into that? I assume you have.
I mean, it would be feasible. I mean, I haven't really looked into, like, if the owners of that property would let me lease it to, to try to maintain the property and keep it to where it wasn't causing issues for the community.
Right. It just it suddenly struck me as people are already there. It's in proximity to the Washburn Center. It's people are blind to it. You know, it's not like you're establishing a new thing. It seemed like maybe if we could just make it a little more official, you know, and bring some sort of, you know, safety to the property, that might make sense. Ray, let's switch gears a little bit. And before we do anything else, you need to know about what's going on with the community in your area or around the area, Michael, for the homeless issue, because it's just something we always talk about a lot, and it's important to talk about.
No, the only other thing I've got going on is I'm speaking tomorrow night at 309.
Oh, that's right.
We're doing a small event there, and I'm just going to talk about some other things going on more so in the downtown area.
I think you have billed it as being slightly more vociferous than your description just lit on. Mike knows how to be a diplomat when he needs to be, and he knows how to be a flamethrower when he wants to be, and you know, you choose your venue.
I do.
Right? Exactly. Very appropriately. Ray, let's talk a little bit about what's going on in Tallahassee, and of course, Mike, you'll be a part of this too, but I think one of the more interesting ones that's come up, you know, there's a lot of interesting bills every year. The one that I'm the most fascinated by, honestly, is the partisan elections for school board members. You know, there's all of these... all these changes regarding elections, like we're wanting to have recall for commissioners,
right.
Which I support. It's a hard process. It's a difficult thing. But for the rare cases where there really is terrible behavior, I support it. We're talking about reducing the number of terms served for school board members from 12 to 8 and putting that limit same in for county commissioners. And also, you know, putting in this idea that you would have partisan races in school board that are now nonpartisan. So let's start with that one particularly. The fear is that making it a partisan election means people will do less homework on the actual candidates because they'll just vote by the letter, and also that you'll put more partisan bickering concerns into school board behavior and management than you already have. Your thoughts?
Well, we already have that.
I agree.
We already have partisan bickering. So if you don't, if you pay any close attention, you know what the candidate is.
Right.
As in their party affiliation. It doesn't take, you know, much to figure that out. So we already have partisan bickering. Now, the fear
Are you sure the school board meetings have partisan disagreements? Are you I just want to be sure we're all hearing the same statement. Are you confident in that claim?
I think I'm pretty safe to say that one there, but
I'll second.
That's a 1000% yes.
That's a 1000% yes. But the you know, to the one problem, and I do, like you said, the fear is that now we just look, well, what's the letter after their name? Now I don't have to do my homework. But the one question that I get, and I heard the testimony and the sponsor of the bill give a lot of this conversation.
Spencer Roach, I think.
And you played it on your show, I think, yesterday.
Yep.
And the fact that they're already... the one question I get more than anything, because I pay attention to politics, obviously.
Right.
So people come to me, okay, what do you know about so-and-so? The first one is, what's their party affiliation?
Huh.
That's one of the first things, especially whether it's school board, and I know they mentioned judges as well.
Yep.
Those are the two things people don't know anything about because it's not officially listed anywhere.
Right.
And unless you can find it out or know where to go, that's the question. So,
or you know
there?
That this candidate who's running this year for school board,
yep.
that guy ran for commission previously under, you know, which happens, and you can remember that things. Or, you know, to take a real obvious example, Grover Robinson, who was a Republican county commissioner,
right.
ran for nonpartisan mayor because it's not a partisan office. Well,
everybody
it's not like
knew.
We suddenly forgot that he was a Republican.
Everybody knew.
Exactly.
Exactly. And so when I answer those questions, that's the first thing. So we already have it, mm-hmm. so why not make it official? And I think that's what the sponsor was saying, and I agree with that, actually. And I do question the term limits, though. They just set 12 years, and now they're even before it's had a chance to take effect or have any, now we're going to 8.
It's kind of a way of saying what we really wanted all along
was. What we
really
wanted all along was this. So we opened the door, now we're going to walk all the way through it.
Right.
This is where we want
Which
to
we're
be.
Seeing in other legislation, too. I mean, last year there was so much fighting over the parental rights bill.
Mm-hmm.
The bill critics called the Don't Say Gay bill. I thought that was a really, it was a very effective but very inaccurate label.
Absolutely.
But okay, fine.
Yeah.
That was K-3, right? You couldn't talk about sex in K-3. Well, the bill this year is K-8.
Yep. Which is where they wanted it.
Which is what they wanted in the beginning anyway.
And
I think everybody knew that.
Yep.
But it's very easy to make the case. Why do you need to be talking about this stuff to 7-year-olds? Okay, well, now we don't want to talk about it to 12-year-olds either. Well, we kind of knew this was going there anyway. But, I mean, make it look better. Wait 2 years at least. You know, it's kind of transparent. So, Michael, your thoughts about the partisan school board elections?
No, I fully agree with that. That we already see the bickering and the infighting, and so we might as well, you know, wear the brand on their shirts.
We have this weird notion that when we have a nonpartisan, and I don't think you feel that about like city council where it's nonpartisan, but definitely when it comes to the school board, we have this kind of mythology in our heads that, well, the school board's the nice place. You know, like the school board is the neutral,
you
safe
watch
place.
Our school board oh, meetings,
no, I'm,
right?
I'm saying, I think people feel like, well, that's supposed to be the decency, you know, closet or yep. something. And it just, it's certainly not that way. It never has been that way. Education is like one of the highest friction points for conflicting values in our society 100%. Because it's no longer you and me as adults. Yep. It's what happens to our kids who all have to be together in a room. I mean, there it's obviously a source of conflict. But I think people have this almost romanticized notion about, you know, what schools are and what school boards do. And again, have you watched one?
You know? One of the things I found it interesting in listening to the argument in the presentation in committee was we had partisan races till 2000.
For like 150 years.
It wasn't even like, that's not that long ago.
And it came as a bundle. It came as it one came of the bundled amendments from the Constitution Revision Commission. Right.
Which, if most people realize that, I say, well, then why did we, the question would be, then why did we change it?
Yeah.
And I think that, it was changed by the Constitutional Commission, which, well, we know how that goes. That's, yeah.
Well, and I mean, you know, and again, not to rehash everything we did yesterday, but look, Democrats felt like they were losing power in Florida.
Right. Yep.
And, well, if we can't stay in power by identifying as D's, we'll try to hide the identification and maybe we'll get lucky.
Yep.
And, I mean, that's politically savvy, but just maybe not what the voters want. One of the other issues, and I'll bring you in a little bit more on this one, Michael, is we're again fighting about transgender issues. It seems like that's the highest flashpoint right now in the culture wars is what should happen with students, what should happen with minors, what happens in schools, bathrooms, changing rooms. All of this stuff is on the table. The who's the organization all of a sudden? ACCA came out with the maybe not ACCA, excuse me, but we came out with the it's now a rule that you cannot perform sexual changes, gender-affirming care, what one side says, sex change operations or medicine is what the other side would say, that's for minors, not in Florida anymore. And now there's a law proposed to kind of put that in place as opposed to rulemaking to actually put it in place as a law. I find myself incredibly conflicted on this topic. I want parental rights. I believe in parental rights. The parent is in the best position to make decisions for children. But there are certain decisions we don't let parents make for their children. You know, there are all kinds of things that if you do this stuff for your kids, with your kids, to let your kids do, and we take those kids away. And this is one of those, like, right on the edge of those two value sets. I'm going to take a real quick break. We'll come back to this question in a second. Gracie has traffic on the fives.
We have slowdowns on 29. That's going to be going towards Muskogee Road in both directions. Just expect some delays there. But other than that, we're looking good. I-10 and I-110, no delays and posted speeds in Gulf Breeze, Tiger Point, and Navarre on 98. See something else, give me a call at 850-2626-111. I'm Gracie Wolf on News Radio 92.3.
Thanks, Gracie. So my perception is that minors are too young to know an awful lot of things and therefore too young to make permanent or semi-permanent changes to their own physiology. As adults, look, I might not understand it. I might think that it's weird, but as an adult, it's a very different thing. And to me, that's kind of the issue. Michael, working with, there's all range of people that are homeless. Transgenderism is certainly common enough among homeless persons. What's your sense about that? Is it, and feel free to say you don't know, but your thoughts.
So for me, this is a health issue. And that we give parents the ability to make decisions for their child's health care. And scientifically, gender is a spectrum. And if you are making decisions with your doctor, I believe that government needs to stay out of it. It's that simple. And
so. My position on that one is children's health care or the parent rights. I mean, there's so many things that as a parent you're required to sign off on for your kid.
Of course.
Surgery being one of the main ones.
Right.
So when you're dealing with this issue, to guarantee, you know, as a parent, no, you have to have a say in this and a right, just kind of goes along with everything that we already have. I don't know that it expands it or changes it as much as it says, no, this is, you already have this right. You can't even go in and get, you know, your, you know, appendix taken out if you're underage without your parents signing. How can you go in and get a gender or whatever without it?
Well, the way I understand it, and I may be wrong, but the bill as proposed in the rulemaking as opposed is they can't, like parents are prohibited from, is the idea.
Well, on the federal level, but on the state level, they're guaranteeing the right, if I'm understanding.
Okay, I may be wrong. You're the Tallahassee guy, but my reading of the bill is that they're banning it. They're making it so that you cannot make this choice for kids.
The kids can't get it, period.
That's right.
Yes.
No, much like I can't give my kids drinks. Yeah, if I think that they're old enough to handle alcohol, I'm not supposed to. You know, there are things that even as a parent,
there's certain things.
Even if I were to believe, for example, that it was a health benefit to them, you know, I can't claim that because, well, this is the law. Now, I know gender reassignment surgery is very different from having a drink of wine, but there are limits to what you can choose for your kids based on what we believe is harmful to them, even though adults, you know, might engage in this behavior. Well, last thing I will ask you, just because, you know, here we are, it is St. Patrick's Day. Michael is not wearing green, but he has an opt-out.
He does.
What's your opt-out, Michael?
I have enough tattoos in green that I have green skin.
And he proved it already. He showed me it. Was it a Medusa? Is that what that was? Or a Kraken? I'm not sure what that
does. I see
it's
it.
It's a woman's head
there.
With spider legs.
Oh, okay. Yeah, not something I've seen recently. So, okay.
I have plenty of roses and flowers with leaves and all sorts of stuff.
Ray?
So
Ray is wearing green, by the way.
I am wearing green, and I have to, my wife can attest to this. I was listening to the show before when I was getting ready this morning, and I put on a not green shirt.
Uh-huh.
And I went back and changed and put on a green shirt. Because I looked at her and go, there's no way I'm walking into studio after Andrew's been talking about it. And Gracie's in it. No way I'm walking into studio without a green shirt on.
And Gracie even admitted as much. She said she borrowed a sweater in order to not get made fun of by me all day.
I said to my roommate, I will not be the butt of the joke.
That's right.
I feel so known.
Won't let it go.
I feel so known that she could predict that.
I hadn't thought
about
it.
This is why I love talking to people who disagree with me. Michael, thank you for joining us. Ray, as always, thank you.
Traffic on the fives, weekdays on News Radio 92.3 WNRP Gulf Breeze, Milton, Pensacola.